said during the worship, we're going to start a new series today, kind of leading toward Easter, called The Cross. We're going to look at the cross in a little bit different way. There's definitely the physical aspect to what the cross was physically and what what Jesus went through physically with the cross. And we've talked about that, and you know, a lot of you have seen The Passion of the Christ, and I talked about it a little bit on Wednesday. And last year, during Easter, we talked a lot about it. But I think there's a completely different aspect to the cross that we forget that is possibly more important, and that's what it represented and really what it taught us. And so that's sort of where we're going to start with this today. And really, we're kind of talking about following versus believing. Is kind of our big subject for today. Who drives in here? Okay. Have you ever had to follow somebody where, like, you don't know where you're going and they're like, yeah, it's like 15 minutes down the road. I can't exactly tell you to get there, but follow me and we'll get there. Have you ever had to do that? Okay. Have you ever had someone who says, follow me, and they're like the worst person in the world to follow? You know what I mean? Like, you're coming up to a light, and it turns yellow, and they, like, blow through it, and you're like, really? Thanks. You know, and then they got to pull over and put their hazards on, or maybe they're just not even that courteous, and they just, like, keep going, and 10 minutes later, you're, like, calling them, going, dude, where are you? You know, kind of thing. Well, we made two turns. You weren't there? No. Do you not know how to lead? Val was telling me this time that she was on, like, a little bit of a road trip with a couple of her friends, and they were going to, where was it, Carolina? Florida. And they're going, and some guys, as guys do, because we're stupid, are, like, pulling up beside them and, like, trying to talk to them and stuff like that, and like, hey, get off the next exit kind of thing. Like, follow us off the next exit, you know, and Bob and the girls are like, sure, okay, follow us. You know, and right when they get to the next exit, the guys get off the exit, and Val and the girls just kept, like, blowing by, like, peace. And the guys are like, what? Like, that kind of thing. And I was actually happy to hear that story, that, you know, she left them there. But following isn't easy. And, you know, just like following somebody in a car can sometimes be very difficult, especially depending on who's leading. If you got somebody that knows how to have people following them, it can be a lot easier to follow them to the final destination, but it's not always easy. And it's the same with following Jesus, because believing and following Jesus are two completely different things. It should be easy, but it's really not. It's very easy for us to believe in Jesus and to believe in the things that he's done, but it's quite something else to actually follow him. And I think for the most part, some people, especially students and maybe college age, maybe the reason that they don't believe is because of the following part. Does that make sense? Because they look at the following part, and the following part they have a hard time dealing with and a hard time understanding. And it could be because of us. It could be because maybe we're being hypocritical in our lives and the way that we're living out our life. And they're going, well, if they claim to follow Jesus, I don't know if I really want that, or I don't know if my life is really going to be any different than theirs if I'm following or believing. And to follow Jesus is very simply just to walk where he walks. And again, it sounds very simple. Living it out is something completely different. And it's going to cost us something. You know, maybe you look at your life and you feel convicted, and maybe you feel a disconnect from where maybe you should be with God. And maybe the problem is that you have beliefs that don't impact your life. Maybe you've got beliefs where, like, you know, you're coming to church on Sundays and you're coming to church on Wednesdays and you're like, yeah, I believe in that, but are those beliefs really something that you're putting into practice? Is it something that is actually affecting your life on a day-to-day basis on Monday or Tuesday or Thursday or Friday or Saturday? or Wednesday afternoon before you get here. You know, is it just something that you believe in that's just like a nice fairy tale, you know? Or is it something that you're actively trying to live out? And the hard part about that is sometimes we don't know where Jesus is leading us, and that's where it gets difficult. Because as I've told you guys many times, I'm a control freak, so it's very hard for me in some ways to let go and let God sometimes. That can be very difficult. If you know, things happen in your life and you're like, man, I don't understand where this is going, God, but you're in control and I got to trust you. And that's very difficult to do. Depending on your circumstance, it can be extremely difficult to do. It would be a lot easier if we could just believe and not follow, wouldn't it? Be it a lot easier, because then you could just kind of bring up that Christian stuff when you need it and do whatever you wanted during the week. It'd be a lot easier. If you got your Bibles, we're going to be in Mark chapter 8. In Mark chapter 8, and Jesus is kind of in the beginning to middle of his ministry on earth, where he had 3.5 years, changed the course of history. And this is basically what we're going to look at, is right at the time that he's pretty much telling the world, I'm the Messiah, I'm the one everyone's been looking for. People were speculating and wondering who he was. And there was actually some times, if you can go back and read, where like Jesus had covered up his identity a little bit, because he knew that it wasn't quite the right time for people to know that he was the Messiah yet, that he was the Son of God. So he had actually covered it up. There's, he like refused to let demons speak. There's a time in Mark chapter 1 where he didn't let the demons speak, because the demons knew who he was. They knew exactly who he was. He cleansed a man of leprosy and told him to be quiet about it. There's another one where he does go and tell, say, go tell people. But he does some certain things, and when Jesus quieted the storm, you know, when he's like quiets a storm and he's in the boat. I don't know if you've heard that story where he's with the disciples and there's a huge storm and the disciples are all freaking out, and he just comes up and goes, okay, and the whole storm just goes and is gone. That is really kind of the turning point where the disciples start going, okay, you're more than just a good teacher and more than just a prophet. There's something going on here, because who can control the weather? Is indirectly what they said. They started wondering who he was. Is he Elijah? Is he John the Baptist? Come back. They didn't really know. So in Mark 8, 31 through 30, here we go. It says, and Jesus began to tell them that the Son of Man must suffer many terrible things and be rejected by the elders, the leading priests, and the teachers of religious law. He would be killed, but 3 days later he would rise from the dead. As he talked about this openly with his disciples, Peter took him aside and began to reprimand him for saying such things. Jesus turned around and looked at his disciples and reprimanded Peter. Get away from me, Satan, he said. You're seeing things merely from a human point of view, not from God's. Okay, Peter's got some stones here, if you ask me, to go up to Jesus and be like, dude, shut up. I mean, who are you? Who are you to reprimand Jesus? You know what I mean? But at the same time, he didn't quite understand exactly who he was hanging with and exactly what was going on here. It was just starting to come up. And Jesus responds to him saying, get behind me, Satan. Man, that would be like, that'd be a little bit of a dagger in the heart. And told him, you're looking at things from the wrong point of view. You're looking at things from your point of view and the earthly point of view. Those things don't matter to me. Those points of view are irrelevant to him, to God. And then he explains what it means to follow him, verses 34 through the rest of the chapter. He says this, then calling the crowd to join his disciples. There's a lot of people around, so it wasn't just him and his disciples. He says, if any of you wants to be my follower, talking to everybody, you must turn from your selfish ways, take up your cross, and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake and for the sake of the good news, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my message in these adulterous and sinful days, the Son of Man will be ashamed of that person when he returns in glory of his Father with the holy angels. Jesus said, look, following me is not about the miracles. It's not about the party. All right, it's not about the freak show that was walking around following Jesus. Because there were people that walked around because he was basically like a walking Barnum and Bailey circus to some people. You know, they just wanted to see who he was going to heal next and what was he going to do next. And, you know, we're running out of wine, so give him some water. And, I mean, there were some people, I guarantee you, that walked around just to see him, just to see what he was doing. They weren't following. They were believing. They were there just to see the show. And he said, basically, look, this isn't about the show. This isn't about a party, and this isn't about, it's about dying. When he looked at them and he said, if you want to follow me, take up your cross, that meant a big deal to them. That meant a very big deal to those people at the time because what the cross signified. The lowest of the low, it was a punishment reserved for the lowest of the low people. You know, the people who were just the complete considered waste of society, if you will, is who that punishment was saved for. And he tells, and all the physical aspects of it, you know, the being nailed to the cross and beaten and stripped down and the whole nine, they knew what that meant. And when he said that, that was a big deal to them. The cross was used by the Roman government to control people and to control the crowd because people knew that, man, I do not want to do that. That is not going to be fun, so I think I will abide by their laws. And what Jesus was saying was to follow me means to lose all the control, all the earthly power that you think matters. And the disciples heard that and said, okay, so to follow you means we're going to die? Yes, yeah, sign me up. I'm sure that they took a step back a little bit from him saying that and kind of had to collect their thoughts. In fact, I'm positive they did. Cross is a place that Jesus died and where we die too. When we follow Jesus, we have to submit our desires and our selfish aims. It's the physical aspect to the cross is definitely not something that I'm demeaning by any stretch here. But the bigger picture of this thing is what it really means for our lives. What the cross really represented for our lives is the selfish desires that we have and the selfish aims that we have and the things that are keeping us from following and leaving us at just believing. There's things that are in the way that are keeping us from moving from belief to follow. And everybody's is different. In John 6, verse 66, I'm not going to look it up or whatever, but it says, at this point, many of his disciples turned away and deserted him. When he said that, there was a lot of disciples. Like Jesus had the 12, he had his main 12, but then there were other people that followed him. He had probably a crowd, I don't know, maybe this big, maybe bigger, that probably followed him all the time. You know, he probably looked like Tiger Woods walking a golf course, where he just had this huge bunch of people around him all the time, except without all the immorality and all that stuff. But when he said that, when he busted that out and let everybody know that, there were quite a few people that went, peace, I'll see you later. A lot of people heard that and went, I'm not really down with that. And they took off. Believing is the beginning. Then we follow. That's what we need to understand. And sometimes following doesn't make sense, and sometimes it's really, really difficult. Sometimes it's very difficult, and sometimes it can be a lonely road because, as we talked about, it can cost you something. It can cost you friends. It can cost you family. It can cost you things that maybe you thought you really wanted in life. But the problem is our selfish desires get in the way, and we think that those things matter a ton. And maybe we're putting too much emphasis on things that don't matter and not enough on the things that do. Our connection point for the day is in order to have life, we have to lose our lives. And I know that maybe some of you have been in church your whole life have heard that before. But has it ever really sunk into you what that really means? In order to have life, you have to lose your life. If you want the life that Jesus wants for you, losing your life is what you have to do. You have to give it all up to him. You have to completely give it all up to him. Jesus will give you a purpose in life, but the road is uncertain. The purpose in your life is very clear. It's very clear. The road to get there is what's not. And that's where faith comes in. And that's where losing your life is such an important part of your walk with God. It's something that you got to work on all the time. This is a job that's never done. Okay, you're never going to be like, okay, I've gotten rid of it. There will always be something. So the question is, what in your life needs to die so that you can truly follow Jesus? Take a look at your life. What in your life needs to die so that you can truly follow him?